All right. If you've got your study guide, if you don't have a study guide, raise your hand and Daryl will get you one. Got one right up front here, Daryl. We need even right here. Should be lesson number 16. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Okay. Lesson number 16. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You really get a lot out of this. This is really a powerful chapter. Let me read the introduction to your study here, and then we'll get into the scripture itself. This is sort of the situation in the Corinthian church. Immodestly dressed women in the church's meetings, the issues of insensitivity to fellow believers, drunkenness at the Holy Communion were just a few of the problems that Paul had to address. Apparently, this body of believers also had difficulties and abuses involving their use of spiritual gifts. This is a problem which many Christians and churches are facing even today, with growing charismatic movements and popular many churches of different denominations. And when I say that, it's kind of, you know, something you may not even be aware of. But some of the churches, in fact, it was perhaps more years ago than it is now, but you know, as people got excited about spiritual gifts, the whole issue of the importance of speaking tongues. And all of a sudden people would come into churches and they'd say, you know, if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit and different things like that, and create a lot of disruption. The Greek word charisma appears more than nine times in chapters 12 through 14. It means spiritual gift. This 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians is the key passage in the Word of God on this particular subject. It is well for us to be fully informed as Paul's teaching regarding use and abuse. As we study chapters 12 through 14, we learn that the use of spiritual gifts in the Corinthian church focused more on the attention, recognition, honor they received through the use of their gifts than in the service that they rendered. Their use fed their pride. Parading their ability to speak in other tongues was more important to them than love relationships. Selfish motives had corrupted a sacred blessing. Having begun in the spirit, they were now living in the flesh. Unfortunately, the charismatic movement today is also commonly associated with just one of the spiritual gifts, that is, speaking in tongues. There are several gifts, however, about which Christians should be equally concerned. Sad to say, in many of our Christian churches today, there continues to be a lack of understanding concerning the Spirit's blessings. In this lesson, let us allow God's Word to teach us concerning spiritual gifts, their use, and their potential abuse. So that's kind of going to be our focus for the next 4 weeks. But let's just sort of get a feel of it from the Scripture itself. So if you've got your Bibles, please open them to chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read through verse 11. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. No one can say Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. There's a lot of meat here. We're going to have to walk ourselves through here because, like I say, a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of, questionable interpretations as well. So let's do our best with this. But as you look at this, he starts off in verses 1 to 3. And it's kind of interesting. I've got to back up a little bit here. But I found for myself this whole area of spiritual gifts was basically new to me. When even when I went through seminary, we went through a chapter like this, but sort of just went through it. It was not really, we didn't land on it at all. And yet for me, back in the 70s, I found that as I had the privilege of going back to Fuller Seminary to work on my doctorate, I became part of a class with a guy named Peter Wigner. And he just opened up this whole area to me that I had not even been aware of. In fact, what really got me started in that direction, I was reading a book by, Ray Steadman. Ray Steadman in Palo Alto, the Bible Church. Great guy. But that particular book, the book I read was Body Life. Simple book. Body Life. Regal Press put it together, and I read that book and I thought, isn't this interesting? He tells the story about how in his church in Palo Alto, they structured the whole church around this whole concept of living out your spiritual gifts. That everybody has been given a gift by the Holy Spirit to be used for the common good, for the work of ministry in the church. And then he showed how they, you know, there was a lot of teaching on it, and then how it worked out in his church. I thought, my lands, I never heard of that before. And so that was in 73 when I read that book. In 76, I went back to Fuller Seminary, and here's Peter Wigner, and he had a class in which he dealt a lot with this whole particular area, and then especially dealing with the Holy Spirit. And I also found at that particular time, the Holy Spirit became a divisive point of theology. Because, you know, the charismatic kind of was moving up and saying how important the Holy Spirit was. In fact, the Holy Spirit was sort of a third work of that God was doing. And somehow, if you were involved with allowing the Holy Spirit to really, being very alive and real, you probably weren't even a Christian. Well, anyway, just a lot of controversy is going on, so I really felt it's an important area in which to study. And I was really blessed by that, because what it helped me to learn is that, hey, don't put the Holy Spirit in a box. It's not a point of theology. He's real. I mean, that's the third part person of the Godhead. And so a lot of these passages really became... just a huge reservoir of new appreciation and understanding. So I wrote my dissertation. I spent 3 years in Fuller Seminary. I wrote a dissertation, developing a strategy of ministry through the use of spiritual gifts. That became my whole focus. And I've tried to live by that theme, all through my ministry, of helping people discover the gifts that they have, and seeing what gifts are there, and then incorporating and using it in the body of Christ. And it's really exciting, because you suddenly realize that we're all ministers. I remember one time I was preaching a sermon, and I told the people, I said, I just want you to know I am resigning. I am no longer going to be your minister. And everybody goes, where are you going? What's going on around here? And all this kind of stuff. And I said, no. I said, I'm not resigning to be your pastor. I said, I'm just not going to be the minister. You're all ministers. See? Because, I'm supposed to equip you for the work of ministry and this kind of a thing. So, but that whole idea that God's called us and he's gifted us, every one of us, with a spiritual gift to be used in the body of Christ for the work of ministry. I found that very exciting. So as we kind of work our way through this, I'll kind of keep sharing with you some of the stories and things that happened in my life as I've kind of learned and worked through this whole thing. And I find this very important as well, because otherwise your idea of church You know, it's that guy up front there. He's the minister, he's the pastor, he's everything. And the rest of us are there, we're his cheerleaders. You know, we're there to encourage him to do the work of ministry. And man, that's not it at all. I mean, he's there to equip you to do the work of ministry. That's our job. So let's just kind of move into this thing. So notice Paul's very concerned about this. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. All right? So let's, as we look at this, what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 12:1 to indicate the importance of this subject? What's he saying here? You feed it back to me again. What's he say?
He wanted them to know what
he wants you to know this. Now, what's interesting about this passage, as it starts off, and I feel it's kind of a shame that the translators didn't do a better job with translating this guy. It's a little bit misleading. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed. But the Greek word here is not spiritual gifts.
Spirituals.
It's spirituals. So he's saying, now about being spiritual, brothers, not spiritual gifts, because that picks up again, that'll pick up in verse 3 or 4. But here, now this is this dear brother, he's still speaking from the grave, J. Vernon McGee. I mean, good old J. Vernon. I mean, he, you know, amen. Brother, listen to this. He says it very well, so I'm going to read it to you. Now notice that in the text of your Bible, the word gifts, he's talking about King James Version, he's got his old King James Version, but there should be on the sideline, let's see if it's this way here. Let's see, no, one. No, it doesn't even have it on the footnotes. It should have in your footnotes, the word gifts is in italics, which means that the word is not in the original. It talks about spirituals and the gifts. It should be in italics, which means it is translator's, choice. It was added for the sake of clarity. But very frankly, he says, I don't think adding the word clarified anything. Actually, it's added confusion, he says. So then he brings it all stuff out. The word, Greek word, is pneumatika, which literally means spiritualities. It is in contrast to carnalities. Spirituality or against being fleshly. So he says one does not need to add the word gifts. Back in the third chapter, Paul was discussing the divisions among the Corinthian believers, and he wrote, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. That's 3:1. Now that first section is about carnalities, because their questions were about fleshly carnalities and the things that carnal Christians would be interested in. The carnalities had to do with their division, their wrangling about different leaders, their about adultery, what about going to court against other brothers, about the sex problem, women's dress, men's haircuts, the love feast, gluttony, drunkenness, all this stuff is going on. That is all carnality. And we can find the same things in the church today, he says. So the section of carnalities, you know, he needs correction. Now, he says, now he's going to say on spiritualities. And this is constructive. Paul was glad to change the subject. So that kind of feeds with an understanding. So he brings this out. He starts off, he says, now about spiritual, about being spirituality, about rather than being carnal, let's talk about what it really means to be a spiritual person. Don't want you to be ignorant. See, that's the key point here. How are you going to be spiritual in the midst of all your carnality? So let's look at that next section here. Turn the page. What gift did Jesus promise his disciples? Now I'm going to kind of move us along here. Now, what gift did Jesus promise his disciples?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Now, just to kind of, log into that here, but sometimes we wonder why, Jesus made it very clear in, I think it's in the chapter 16 of John, verse 7, he says, I must leave. I've got to go away. Why do I have to go away? Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit can't come. In fact, in the second chapter of Acts, see if I can find that quickly here. When Peter is preaching, he says in Acts chapter 2, start at verse 32. Peter's preaching, and he says, he's talking about the resurrection of Christ, and so forth. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and poured out what you now see and hear. The point there is Jesus had to leave them so that he could ascend into heaven and present to the Lord, you might say, the shed blood, all that he had done, and make a official presentation. This is my picture now. Official presentation in the Holy of Holies and say, Lord, it is done. Here it is. Then the Holy Spirit comes. See, so he had to leave in order for the Holy Spirit to come. Because, you know, when we talk about Christ indwelling all of us, well, here again, the interesting thing is when Jesus ascends into heaven, he ascends with his resurrected body. You got to keep that in mind. So Jesus ascends into heaven with the resurrected body. So how in the world can he dwell in all of us when we receive Christ, Lord and Savior? Presence of the Holy Spirit. So he ascends with a resurrected body, sit at the right hand of God the Father, but now for his presence to be here with us, he says, I have to be gone so that my presence, but still, it's God's presence, can now dwell in you. So Paul is kind of laying that whole thing out. Now, he says, I want you to understand this, that the Holy Spirit now has come and the promise is there, it now belongs to you. Now, so how does that gift further bless the church? Let's take a look at some of these passages. I just want you to throwing out all kinds of ideas. But I'd like one of you to kind of look up John 15, 26, 27. Someone else in Ephesians 4, 7 to 8. Someone else, Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. And then Hebrews 2, 4. So you're all going to land on the same one at the same time, but that's okay. We'll sort it out. All right. Who's got a John 15, 26, 27? Someone just read. Go ahead.
When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning.
Okay. So what is the benefit or the blessing of the Holy Spirit to the church from that verse? What do you gather from that verse? Testify, okay. But about what? About who?
Who Jesus is.
Who Jesus is.
True insight into who
right.
He is.
Right. True insight into who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit. You know, it's interesting. You can hear different people talk about Jesus, and for one, he's a great, great leader, and he's a great teacher. He's this, he's that, and others will say, "Yeah, but man, he's God. Look, he did what he died on the cross. Paid the penalty of our sin." I mean, one has real insight into the person and the work of Jesus. Another person just kind of blowing smoke out there as to who this person was in terms of history. Okay, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Work of the Holy Spirit. Now let's take a peek at the next one here. Ephesians 4, 7 to 8. Who's got the one? There's a hand. I got to see who you are. Okay, go ahead, Gerald.
Each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it said, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people.
Okay. From that verse, what do you understand to be one of the benefits, again, of blessing of the Holy Spirit? What does he do? What did he do? Daryl, can you figure that one out?
For me, this is why last week we talked about taking communion.
Okay.
Now, to me, we're declaring that we're doing this. When we you're saying that, that we receive his body, his blood.
Right.
And then the Holy Spirit is going to be dwelling in us. And through the Holy Spirit, you know, I pray that it empowers me to be able to testify of Jesus Christ.
Okay, now you're talking about the verse before. I want you to nail this one here. What you just read, it says, but to each one of us grace has been given, and Christ apportioned it. This is why it is said, okay? Now remember what we said about Jesus ascending on high. He ascended, didn't he? He ascended into heaven. What does he do? He led captives in his train. So basically what he did there is he literally has released. When people died in the Old Testament, they went to Sheol. They went to the place of the dead. Now when Jesus ascended into heaven, what does he do? He takes them with him into heaven. And what does he do? What did I read it in Acts chapter 2? But what does the Holy Spirit do? He gives us the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? Gives us gifts. You catching it? You seeing it? Dick, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I thought it also relates to the uniqueness of the gifts. It's not a competition.
Right. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. We'll see that very clearly. That's something he wants to hammer home. But I want you to capture what's in this particular verse. What this verse is saying, he ascends on high. So what does Jesus do? He led captivity captive. In other words, he released those people who died in the Old Testament, and they were in Sheol. Now, absent from the body, present with the Lord. When people died in the Old Testament, they didn't go to heaven. Understand that. It was not prepared. I go to prepare a place for you. That's what he says in John 14, right? So now, Jesus goes and he presents himself to the Father. It is done. It is finished. The blood is there. Here's, you know, let us, like a general, you know, he comes with his train and all these captives, they all belong to him now. And here they are. But what does he do? He sends his Holy Spirit, which I said in Acts. And then what does the Holy Spirit do? Gives gifts. Okay? Jeff.
You know, I think perhaps the word gifts isn't mentioned in that. I mean, it's not really, shouldn't be translated there, because we think of gifts as something we just receive. And I don't know, maybe perhaps it's the way I look at it, it's endowment, it's an undoing, it's something that actually we're now supposed to dispense. Maybe that's why.
No, you're not dispensing Holy Spirit's gifts. You're ahead of yourself right now. We'll get into that. Don.
Well, I was thinking similar. The Holy Spirit is given to us. And the Lord uses him to prompt us, to witness for them.
Okay. All right. Now, you guys are chomping at the bit. This is wonderful. I'm going to get you into this. But I want you to get your understanding from the text. Are you with me now? I want you to get your understanding from text, and because otherwise we go to all different directions. But I want you to understand something. The Holy Spirit gives gifts, and we'll get into that as we move further here. Go ahead, James. All right. Oh, you got the next verse. Fantastic. Okay. So, where am I here? Okay, 11:13. Oh, yeah. Slow interruption here. Just a minute. I got Daryl over here. What's that?
Before we go to the next verse, when it says he took many captives, you said that was for the ones that were already dead.
Yeah.
Does that also pertain to us?
No.
And gave gifts to his people.
Okay, yeah, that pertains to us. The captives he leads captive as he ascends into heaven.
So it's separate.
To me, that's separate. Now, that's the act of, you know, we talk about ascension. Jesus was born, you know, he lived, he died, rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven.
Because it seems like we're captive.
Well, yeah, but it's different now. What I'm trying to get you to look at, there's it's different. Because the Old Testament people, when they died, they went to a place called Sheol, the place of the dead. When Jesus now rises from the dead, Remember, the promise, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, when and how did he do that? Well, he did that through his death on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascension. Now he, because Jesus comes into the Holy of Holies, the very place of the perfection of God, he now says, we now can come. Well, but remember, he went there with his resurrected body. See? So now when that happens, then, you know, now he led those captives captive. Now for us, we don't go to a place called Sheol. Absent from the body is what?
Present with the Lord.
Pastor, in Jesus' story, when he talked about Lazarus, and
yes,
that's where the place where the rich man, Lazarus was in one compartment,
yes,
and the rich man
exactly
was in another.
Luke that's 16,
where they,
exactly.
That's where they were being held.
Yes, precisely. Precisely. Okay, yes, Fernando, what are you doing over there?
You moved my seat.
My seat. I got your seat right over here. It's still vacant. What's the problem here?
This is Vince's seat.
Oh, that's Vince's seat. You made him nervous now. Go ahead.
Well, to understand the situation of the Holy Spirit, we have to understand the way the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament.
Right.
He was called the Spirit of God. And he was very active in many ways.
Oh, yes.
In the Old Testament.
Oh, yes.
Now
very, very.
He's working with Jesus Christ. He conceived Jesus Christ.
Okay.
He talked with Zechariah and the Old Testament, the prophet. He was active all the time. Now, after Jesus rise, Jesus says, before he rise, he's going to send the helper.
Right.
The same Spirit of God to work with us.
Right.
In this case, he worked in different ways. Work in the ministry individually. Work in the ministry of the church. All together.
Right.
But he, according with the whole, was some kind of misunderstanding, misuse the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And it happened today.
Right.
It happened constantly, misuse the Holy Spirit, because sometimes people think that the Holy Spirit is something different.
Sure.
Work in different ways, and they take credit for themselves or receive like a talk and tongue. And
right.
For me, when they act too, everybody talks in tongue, but everybody over there understands what they're saying.
Okay, very good.
Right. And for us, the Holy Spirit works in the church, and we have to recognize what ministry we have under the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And work with the church, not for me, for the ministry of Jesus Christ.
Okay, we'll get there, okay? I'm working on it. Fernando gave you the whole package ready. He let the whole cat out of the bag. I mean, but we're getting there. We're getting there. No, I got you here. Oh, yes, please. I know it. I'm working for you. James, rescue us right now. Now, look at this next scripture here, because what else does the Holy Spirit do? Look at chapter 4, verse 11 to 13.
Stay the text.
There we go. Go ahead.
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Beautiful. Now, you see what's happening now. Your first verses 7 through 8, he says he's giving gifts. And then, you know, got the little interlude over there, 9 through 10, but it says, it was he who gave some. Now, you say, well, who is he? Well, you can say it was Jesus, but at the same time, you can say it was the Holy Spirit. He gave gifts to men. What were some of these gifts? These gifts were gifted people. And with the gifted people, they were gifts that he gave. They were apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and what are their job?
Edify
the body. Build up the body. Equip the body. Help the church body to do what?
To become united.
United? Before that, what is it? To do what? It's a work of ministry.
Serve,
exactly. And, you know, it's really, for me, this was a real personal journey in my life in this church, because I think when I first got started here, I really had the vision of the pastor being the shepherd. I mean, I was the shepherd. Well, what do shepherds do? And they take care of the sheep. They anoint the ones that are bleeding, and they pull out the burrs out of the fur, you know, all this kind of stuff. In other words, I really felt this was my job. So I ran around and did everything I possibly could. I would teach, and I would, you know, visit, and I would, and you know, and you had your church board. They pretty well say, "Oh, that's what we paid you for." Well, I figured I was top gun, man. I mean, you know, I was, that kind of was my mental image of the church. And I think a lot of guys that were in the ministry my age really had that kind of a point of view. And then as time went on, I thought, oh, man, you know, as I'm in this class, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, especially this verse really hammered me. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm getting this wrong. You know, that's why I resigned as being the minister. I could still hang in there and be the pastor. That's okay. But that wasn't my job. My job is to equip the saints.
What a poor ministry.
You guys for the ministry. And then you say, well, then your next question is going to be, well, okay, I want to be involved in it. What do I do? Well, let's get back to spiritual gifts. Let's find out how God gifted you. And then we think of a body, and here's your old carcass over here, and you think, all these different parts make up this carcass, and some line of a job is going to get done. It all works together. Derek.
Are you suggesting that the Holy Spirit changed your job description?
Yeah. Oh, I tell you, he laid one on me, man.
But maybe your understanding of your job.
I think my understanding of the job is great. Absolutely, absolutely.
I can't really imagine such a thing.
Truth hurts.
Real quick, just to clarify, gifts as gifts, to go back to the Old Testament, as Fernando alluded to, like Samson was given the gift of strength and killed
right.
Some guys with the old donkey.
Jawbone.
Elijah, calling down fire from heaven to light the soap
right.
On fire, and then whatever the guy's wife wanted to kill him, so he took off running. And
Elijah and Jezebel, yeah.
Elijah and Jezebel, and he took sure. off running and
right.
outran the army and
right.
on horseback. So he gives specific
yeah.
gifts
yeah.
for specific reasons. Not gifts that we can give ourselves or that we can give our people. It's gifts from God.
I think what you're going to find is, there's a distinction between what the Holy Spirit did in the Old Testament and what he's doing as of now. Because what it says in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon. Holy Spirit came upon. And then, there were certain people that God wanted to use, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and my goodness, poof, he did mighty things. But what you're finding out now, well, you think, well, what's the difference now? Is there something? Well, what's this big promise about the Holy Spirit? He now comes to indwell us. And it isn't this bouncing around, you know, zap you for this, and then he pulls back, and, you know, think, well, am I going to get any more Holy Spirit coming around today, you know? And no, he indwells you. And then we'll learn more about the difference between spiritual gifts and natural talents. There's a difference between spiritual gifts and fruit of the Spirit. Got about end here, Bob.
Yes. I'm thinking that did Jesus kind of explain this to Peter when Peter was saying, "Well, where are you going? You know where I'm going." All that.
Well, he didn't explain everything. The Holy Spirit had to unveil it as time went on. Go ahead.
But he said, "It's better that I
leave." Yes.
Because now I can be with him, not with
him. No, he didn't nicely explain that. He didn't nicely lay that out at that particular point. They discover that as time, in other words, when the Holy Spirit does come, see, Jesus tells them what he has to do, but he didn't lay the whole thing out, because let's face it, sometimes you lay the whole thing out and go, ding, you just, it doesn't land, I mean, it doesn't make sense. They were ready for it.
Some of those guys were brought just to...
Well, that's true. They weren't necessarily the brightest.
You see that? And when David sins, David says in his prayer in Psalms, don't take the Holy Spirit from me. So
yes.
He knew that.
Oh, yes.
That this doesn't reside.
Yes. Now, it's 8:30 already, guys. I only have one question here, but I got Jeff over here. Go ahead, Jeff.
No.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I think it's, you know, we tend to take 1 Corinthians 12, and we kind of make our own, take it out of the context.
That's what I'm trying to get you to do. Stay and keep it in the context. Go ahead.
Throughout Corinthians, there are problems that Paul is addressing.
Right.
There are divisions. So,
right.
Once again, we should apply that. There are even divisions about how we view the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yes.
And he says, but if you say Jesus is Lord, that is the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Now, that's where I want to land right now and conclude with that verse. Look at number B here. Reflecting on verse 2, how are non-Christians, and sometimes Christians, influenced, led astray to mute idols? What I want you to wrestle with, this is a strange passage here, but look what it says. We'll get back to it again next week. I know we will, or the week after. It says, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you influenced and led astray to mute idols. Now, it didn't say you were led by mute idols. It says you were led to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you guys to chew on that, because I don't have time to explain all that at this particular point, but I want you to chew on that for a while to figure out what in the world is he talking about. Now, they weren't led by mute idols, they were led to mute idols. And what is he dealing with here? And I want you to kind of join that, okay? All right, let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, thank you so much again for this time of sharing and learning and studying. And Lord, I just pray that you just cause all of us to search the Scriptures, to wrestle with what you've said. And Lord, we realize we have a lot of ideas and thoughts that come to mind, but Lord, help us to wrest these ideas and understandings from the meat of your Word. So, Lord, I just pray that you will allow us to continue to grow in our understanding of your presence in our lives, the Holy Spirit, that you have gifted us. You want to use us to work in the furtherance of your kingdom. And the fact that you have left this for us, Father, we are humbled and we see ourselves as privileged. Thank you. Go with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now, mate.
Yeah, that we want to play for Jack.